Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always looks ahead, even when parallel parking, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. Actor Kirk Krause will be here in a little bit. Tomorrow night on the show, Tim Sowers will be here from the Overture Center in Madison. Tim's always a fun guest, and I always love hearing what he's watching. He's got great taste in TV and movies, and he'll tell us what's coming up at the beautiful Overture Center. Get in on tonight's question, folks. If you have not answered yet, is there anything worse than the raisin? That's the question. It's very basic. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And I might just read your text on the air. My guest right now is Eric Challand. He is the lead singer and primary songwriter for the band Mascot Theory. Their stuff is so great. I encourage you to check it out. An original Wisconsin band. He is with us here on Nightlight at the moment. Eric, what do you like raisins?
I actually do like raisins.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
Boy, this interview just went south, didn't it?
I know. I'm glad I didn't. I was going to bring it up right away, and I thought, no, I'm gonna hold off until the end.
Oh, there's no shame here. That's totally fine. Hey, you have some shows coming up in Madison and Appleton. Tell us about those.
Yeah, we're doing our album release parties in two of our most favorite places to play. We'll be in Madison at the High Noon Saloon on Friday night, May 3rd. And then on Saturday, we're going to Gibson Music Hall in Appleton, May 4th. So we're really excited. We've got Miles Nielsen is going to be playing with us. And he's a son of Cheap Trick's Rick Nielsen. Incredible band.
Oh, nice.
We've done a lot of stuff with those guys over the years. So we're very excited to be playing those shows in two of our favorite places.
Very cool. Where can people... First of all, I just want to say, too, I thought this was really cool. On your website, you have... the new album, Every Sign of Life There. You have videos for all the songs right on your website. Is there a danger in releasing things like that? Like, you think people won't buy it, or do you not care? Are you trying to get people to come live? And the videos are great, too, by the way. I encourage everybody to check them out.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's that new modern way of music promotion. It's like... there's content, you know, come up with content. And so that was what we were really trying to do. Some of these songs we released on a little EP a year ago, because it wasn't quite ready to put the full album out. So we started doing that. And with that, I wanted to make sure we had music videos, and we had taken a lot of footage down at the studio at Sonic Ranch. And so a lot of the videos are just the footage from us working on those songs in the studio, which is really fun to reminisce and for people to get a little glimpse of what we were doing down there, which is kind of cool. And then some of the videos that we put out recently in the last couple months were I had an idea for my kids to play dodgeball against the band, and so we a cool dodgeball video. That's the trophy behind me there that spoiler, they won. We did not. But that was a fun video to make. So I'm a graphic designer as well and a video editor. So I like to have the song and then find a way to give it more legs, give it some visual element to it. So that's why I love the video stuff, and that's why it's definitely first and foremost, lots of videos on the website.
It's great. And I know we don't have time for me to ask you about every one of these, but I loved Coming Home. I like the song and I like the video. It's just you guys in a car driving, one guy's playing air guitar, and you have in the video underneath in the comments, it says special thanks to the Mineral Point Opera House. Is that where you shoot this in Mineral Point?
We shot it in all of our hometowns, and my hometown is Mineral Point. Oh, so nice. That was the first stop on our little mini tour around the state and dipping into Illinois as well. So Mineral Point's my hometown. So we visited the Opera House. We're actually playing at the Opera House in September. It's one of my favorite places to play, especially as my hometown. And but then we visited everybody else's hometowns as well and just kind of got a little taste of what's going on. My bass player and I actually met back in eighth grade one time at a tennis court. And so in the video, we actually went back to that tennis court and shot a little clip of us playing tennis. So, yeah, it was just a really fun video to make and just kind of visit each other's hometowns.
What is it about the Driftless area that seems to inspire music? I've talked to more than one people, or filmmakers for that matter. It's a very beautiful area, but is there something in the water there that just enhances creativity?
I don't know. You have these great towns like Spring Green and Mineral Point that are very arty-centric towns. Yeah. I grew up in Mineral Point and we had all these tourists. And I remember thinking at the time as a kid, why are all these people in my town? You know, I'm not a fan of that. Right. I'm just trying to ride my bike to the pool or whatever. But when you get older and you go back and you're just appreciative of all the art and the antiques and the artists that are down there. So I don't know. I think it's just, and maybe it is the beauty and the rolling hills and everything. You know, as you go even a little more north up the Mississippi, you got just the incredible bluffs and the trees. And it's just, you know, it's just really inspiring, I think, in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place to be from, I'm sure. How do you think, what is the music scene like, in your opinion, in Wisconsin? I will admit, since I've been doing this show, I've been exposed in part to Terry Barr and Max Inc. And Rocker, just to more great music in the state. Like, I know the Bodines. I've actually worked with the Bodines at times. You know, the Violent Femmes and Butch Vig and Garbage. I knew about all those, but I've heard so many bands that I've never heard of that are just great. Is the music scene thriving in Wisconsin, would you say?
I mean, there's a lot of music. There's a lot of great music out there in this state. And some of it's in the bigger areas, the big cities. You got Milwaukee's a big place.
Yeah.
I love the Fox Valley. Like we said, we play up there. The Mile of Music Festival, I think, is a real good feather in the cap of Wisconsin that's been showcasing Wisconsin musicians as well as other musicians across the country. And those other musicians want to come to Appleton to play this festival because they're just so brilliant with their artists. They're very caring. And the people at that come to all these shows are just super appreciative of that music. And I think that's a microcosm of maybe the state and the Midwest nice that we've got going on. And I think there are just so many musicians and so many incredible things. I don't think we have the biggest economy for music around here.
What does that mean? What do you mean by that?
Nashville. Well, you know, Nashville, New York, LA, they have, the industry is there.
Okay.
You know, we don't have as much of that industry here. So it's a little bit harder for local regional bands to just kind of go find your gigs. And, but it is shows like you mentioned, Max Inc., when it was a magazine before in the Madison area and around the state, they would always feature local bands. And now with the radio show and now with the expanded statewide Max Inc. show through Civic Media, it's even cooler that it's just expanding the musicians that are getting played on that station and the people that are hearing it. So it's just a lot more statewide. And I think that's amazing. And maybe that will be the catalyst to really get that notice that we're hoping to get someday. And obviously a band's like you mentioned, Steve Miller Band back in the day, and you got Bon Iver is probably one of the most modern ones I think that you can think of that's had a lot of success. And hopefully those bands, you know, a lot of them like the Bodines, they'll come back and play here a lot. And the ones, and the people like Butch Vig, who are just like advocates for the state and the music around here, with this project with the Wisconsin Vinyl Collective that we worked on, I think he was really interested in helping to shine that light on some of these artists across the state.
Yeah. So you want a whammy for best vocalist in the state in 2017. That's pretty cool. And my guest, by the way, is Eric Challand. He is the lead singer of the Mascot Theory, folks. Check them out. Google their stuff. They have a great website. All their new songs are on the website. It's a great new album called Every Sign of Life. Who are your biggest influences, Eric? I'll admit, when I listen to you sing, I hear different artists a little bit in your voice, but you have your own sound, obviously. Who influenced you?
From the beginning, it was probably the Beatles. I think I used to listen to a lot of, I used to work at a baseball card shop in Mineral Point down in the bottom of the hill where the old railroad depot was. And no stations came in except the oldies station from Madison. So I used to listen to that all the time. So I loved a lot of that music. Wasn't a huge fan of country at the time. That was the only other station that came in. And so growing up, I remember those songs and I listened to a lot of pop and stuff too. But once I got into high school, and that Beatles anthology came out, and watching that and watching it through my parents, watching it through their eyes, they're reminiscing of the music and that culture that was created at that time with that band. I fell in love with it. And that's what made me want to start writing music. So I always loved music and listening to it, never really sang a whole lot, maybe in church a little bit. But once I watched that, that really just made me want to start writing and immediately go start getting a band formed, and then college hit and just kept going. And then a lot of influences were like Pink Floyd, a lot of the, kind of the classic stuff, The Who, Led Zeppelin, Tom Petty is a songwriter, and just a lot of that kind of stuff. And then eventually bands like Wilco, alt country type stuff.
What is alt country? I've seen that, and I don't know enough. I like old country, not as much of a fan of new country, but where does alt country fit in there?
I bet that it's probably like people that liked old country and wanted like not to be the modern country, but something that still felt like that, that maybe had the acoustical instruments. It kind of morphed, I think, into Americana, which really is a super generic term as well nowadays, because there's, and that's which we love, because that's what our band is. We started off as a folk rock Americana band, but we've morphed quite a bit from 13 years ago. It's just, we have different influences, and we've for this album, we picked up a guitar player who's got amazing chops, Corey Swadley. He's just like incredible with a lot of this classic style, this rock style. And that's what you hear through that album, I think. And that's what really helped shape a lot of the songs on the album and have this little bit more elevated sound to it than what our acoustical stuff maybe was before that.
Well, I guess it's time for you to make your fast car getaway, sir. It's been great talking to you, and continued success. Keep bringing the music to Wisconsin. And also, hey, what are you watching? Anything you can recommend to our audience? You got something you're binge watching, streaming, or a movie you saw?
Oof. Boy, we watch a lot. We just watch, is it Baby Reindeer on Netflix?
Oh, yeah, that's the big one right now.
That's a trip. A crazy one.
And I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a lot of twists and turns. It's pretty intense. But that's probably the one that we just finished over the weekend. That was really cool.
Very cool.
But I like a lot of different stuff too. I like a lot of things.
Well, let's do this again. And when you guys are up here, I would love to have you in the studio to play something for us, a couple tunes, and help get the word out. I love your stuff, and keep it coming, man.
Will do. Appreciate it.
Thank you
so much, Pete.
You got it. That's Eric Chellin. Check out the Mascot Theory. They have a new album out called Every Sign of Life. They're going to be playing in Madison on May 3rd and Appleton on May 4th. Good stuff. So Conrad, we've never been to a concert together.
No, we have not. No.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, we had some people performing here before, so we kind of have.
All right, that's kind of like, is 7,000 Apart back yet? They're supposed to be back soon, aren't they?
They should be back soon. Yeah.
All right, we'll have to talk to them. We'll get this figured out. All right, coming up next, Kirk Krause will be here, and we're going to talk about Jay Leno. It was his birthday. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Nightlight. Hey, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, MinocquaBrewingCompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room on 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. Check it out. We will be doing a remote from there next Tuesday night. If you're in the Madison area, stop by and say hello. And you can check out the show live, drink some great beer, and it'll be live radio. What do you got against live radio, Kurt?
I got nothing against live radio.
That's the voice of Kurt Krause, who joins me here in the studio right now. He's a local actor, Northeast Wisconsin-based actor, but you're willing to travel, right? You go all over?
Man's got to.
Man's got to travel. Join us next week. Conrad, how we do? You don't have anything to do with that, do you?
I just got to produce it.
So from here, you'll still do it from here. Okay. Yep. Is that how we're doing? Okay. I'm not a tech guy. I don't know how this stuff works, but you'll, all right. I trust you've been told what to do, and you won't leave me hanging.
I won't leave you hanging.
All right, good. So our question tonight, if you guys want to get in on this, is basically, why do raisins suck? I don't like raisins. I think they're the worst part of any food you bite into. A muffin, a cookie, cereal. You got this good groove going with consistency and texture, and then bam, raisin. Although we got a texter earlier who said she loves raisins and raisinets, they're her movie go-to. So, and I can kind of see that if you put chocolate on it. Anyway, let us know what you think about raisins, folks. Get in on the fun here at Nightlight. It's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Kurt, how do you feel about raisins?
You know, until you said raisinette, I was actually going to join your anti-raisin club. But then I think of how good the raisinettes are. It's been a long time since I've had them. But
yeah.
It was like my favorite, like chocolatey thing as a kid.
What's your movie go-to candy? Oh, well, Conrad, that's a great question for tomorrow night.
It is.
Take a memo. We got to remember that. We'll probably get some raisinette answers too. What do you say, Kurt? What's your favorite go-to?
Yeah, you know, I'm second guessing the whole thing now because it's like that. Well, that was my go-to. Milk Duds too, but
oh yeah, I used to love Milk Duds, but now I can't decide. Like, is it chocolate? Is it imitation chocolate? It's kind of waxy.
I feel like it's imitation chocolate.
Yeah, something's going on there that doesn't seem moral.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's a delusion.
It is the delusion. So Kurt, I got this great message from you telling me about, and I love learning about new film festivals because Wisconsin has more film festivals than I think most people realize. And they're all really good. But this one's new and, I'll let you talk about it. It's a film festival that focuses on mental health. It's in Madison and it's called the Mental Health Warrior Film Festival. Tell us about it.
So this is in its first year, Mental Health Warrior Film Festival, and the festival's goal is to use cinema to break down stigma of mental illness, but also to celebrate those who are, especially using the arts, to either tell those stories or to break through their own, you know, their own struggles. So we've got some awesome films. They've come internationally besides around the country and here in Wisconsin.
Okay.
So the festival takes place May 18th at Flicks Brewhouse Madison, and there's going to be a party to kick it off on the 16th, that Friday night, and that's going to be a mixer over at the Oaks Country Club. But so it's going to be a great Saturday of filmmaker showcase, and we'll have some representatives there, some of the different sponsors who are helping put this thing together, who work in different mental health resources.
Okay.
And just a lot to learn. So I had the privilege of helping screen some of these films as part of the judging panel and was really blown away because they oftentimes are telling the story of a different mental illness through that person's eyes. And
okay.
So we think we know how people are feeling, but until you're in their shoes and they're able to show you what it's like being in this way.
Right.
You really get the feel for everything they're going through, and including how difficult it can be to communicate what you're feeling.
Yeah. So do the films tackle the issues of mental health? Are the actors in them suffering from mental health issues, or are they portraying characters? Like, is there a way to go at this, or does it just have to be loosely based to the industry or the world of mental health?
I think, some of the writers, including Max Blaska, who's the founder, are struggling with mental illness. So his is very much a high anxiety depression. And, through filmmaking has been able to help tell that story. Other ones, I'm pretty sure that I've seen some of the acting talent who is a part of it may have also been going through what it is they're talking about.
Okay.
And it meets every genre. There's comedy, believe it or not.
I believe it.
A lot of them are darker or sadder drama type ones. There's a music video, but even a horror film, and again, not to celebrate the sickness, but to really really talk about.
It just helps bring awareness to it one way or the other. I guess if you're talking about it like we are, that's helping, right?
Yeah.
It's at the Flicks Brewhouse in Madison on the 18th. Is it all in one day? All the films are in one day?
All the films will be playing on that Saturday.
How many films are there? Because aren't there features in here too?
So there's 22 short films and then one feature film that'll play in the evening time.
All right. And are you in any of these?
I'm actually in two of them.
You're in two of them and you're on the judging panel?
I had no say on those ones. Those ones were already decided.
All right. I don't think about that, Conrad.
What was that?
Sorry, Conrad's sick. Ignore Conrad. just take your NyQuil over there.
All right, sounds good. Right. I don't know if you want me napping over here, though.
No, I don't want you napping. Good Lord. Just leave me stranded here. Conrad's under the weather. He's got neuralgia, and I don't know what he has. No, but he's not feeling well, so he's gutting it out here. But so, okay, so this writer, or the founder of the film festival, Max Blanca?
Blaska,
okay. He is the one also who wrote the film that you were in, and you helped produce, right?
Yeah.
With the Stephen King film. Yep. Let's talk about that, too, because we're going to do a break soon. So we'll get to all that. I want to hear what happened with that. This is called the Mental Health Warrior Film Festival, and there's something behind that title. Can you talk about that a little bit?
So the Mental Health Warrior was this term that Max and guys like Max, who they're using this art to face down the thing that they're struggling with. They are mental health warriors. So they're not letting the illness get the better of them, but rather they're now turning on the offensive. And again, with this, and all the people that are coming together on this particular festival, it's going to offer resources. And again, he's helping other people now. So now he is the warrior. He is on the offensive.
I love that title. I love the title that it's called that. And that's the approach to mental health. I think that's so great. And I think in our society right now, it's not taboo anymore to talk about it. It's something we all have to talk about, because we all, not all of us, but on some level, we all struggle with some of these issues, some more than others. So we'll talk more about that. I'm going to tell you guys how I met Kurt. We've talked about this once before, but we'll recap that when we come back. And also we'll talk about what happened with your Stephen King film. That's pretty cool, too. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. When we move, well, you already know. So just imagine.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. We are in the final quarter of a Tuesday edition of Nightlight, and we're discussing all kinds of fun stuff tonight. Music, mascot theory, raisins, independent film, as always. We talk a lot about independent film, and we have an independent filmmaker here who's also an actor based here in Northeast Wisconsin, Kurt Krause. And we are talking about a film festival that deals with mental health issues. And you're a big part of that. You helped get this thing off the ground. It's in Madison.
Madison-based, and then Max Blaska being the founder. And I had worked with him on the Stephen King adaptation called The Last Rung on the Ladder. So I came in as a producer on that, and then also have a small acting role in it.
Yeah.
Not as a good dude by any means, but...
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. Those are fun roles to play. We just talked about a great villain earlier. I found this list of the 7 best movie villains, smartest movie villains. And one of them was Tom Cruise in the movie Collateral. And we played a couple clips, and he's just, that's my favorite. One of my favorite roles for Tom Cruise was in Collateral, where he plays a hitman hired to kill 5 people in one night. And he hires Jamie Foxx, a cab driver, to drive him around to do it. But he doesn't tell him why he's doing it. He just says he has to make stops and sign some papers. And he is just a diabolical, awesome villain. So it's fun to play a villain. Kurt, I bet you could do it. Not that you're not a nice guy, but I bet you'd have no problem pulling that off.
It's a lot of fun to play. And every now and then I do. I think people are always surprised that I'm cast as a villain. And sometimes they'll say, it's like, was that your first time being cast as a villain? I said, no, there's been a number of them now. So,
all right. So we'll talk about that. But I want to hear about last time you were here, you were part of the Stephen King project. We'll talk about that next. But right now, where do the proceeds, you mentioned the proceeds for this film festival in Madison. It is called the
Mental Health Warrior.
Mental Health Warrior
Film Festival.
Film Festival. Right. Oh, there, I've got it right there. Okay. And you can find out more information at mentalhealthwarriorfilmfest.com. But where do the proceeds go?
So So it's really awesome because it falls right in line with the mission of what this whole festival means to be. So the proceeds are going to Camp Create, to a bit of a tongue twister, Camp Creatability.
Okay.
And that goes toward to teens and kids and young adults who are on the autistic spectrum, giving them a venue of filmmaking. So very much like we're doing on the, you know, on the semi to the professional level, but they're doing that with the young people as a way to help them express, to help them work through. And that's done through film. So Camp Creatability, and then Rogers Behavioral Health works with teens and young adults with severe anxiety disorder. And there's actually an angel fund put together there. So money, as it's split up between these two organizations, people will never be turned away because of income through nice. Rogers Behavioral Health. But through Very that, nice. We also need donors' donations. So Max was really about these two organizations getting all the proceeds from this.
So where can people buy tickets if they're interested in the films that are playing or learning more about mental health or the resources? Where can people buy tickets to this film festival?
So right at that website, the Mental Health Warrior filmfest.com.
Okay.
And it'll be through an Eventbrite link, but it's right there on the website.
How do the movies look like? You said you were on the committee to select them. Are they, I assume they're good films too, not just about mental health, but what stood out to you? What should people really look forward to seeing?
You know, just the variety. And again, you can convey so much through performance, through lighting, through just character dynamic. And I think there's just such a nice variety of these films that you're not going to feel like you're watching one after the next, just recycled. It's a very, very nice variety.
I think what I love so much about film festivals are the Q&As, and when filmmakers make appearances and they answer questions from the audience after the screenings of their films and where they got their inspiration, what the challenges were of making films. Are you going to have Q&As there?
Yep. We are at the end of each session. We'll have those filmmakers be able to answer questions from the audience, be able to tell the story of, coming together of their film projects.
And you mentioned you're going to have booths too for people dealing with mental health issues, which I think is kind of cool. Tell us about that a little bit.
I think that's one of the biggest assets with this festival outside of the performing arts and creating through the performing arts, but to have those resources there to say, okay, we're bringing all of this to light. Now, what do we do with this? So we'd mentioned on the break, like just doing a Google search for this festival, you had four questions that were trending on Google. And even with some background in helping put this together, I shared with you, it's like, I don't know that I would have the best answer for any of these questions. You know, I could give some direction. What we can offer at this film festival is having those people there. So whether it's yourself dealing with something, whether it's a friend or family member, you'll have resources there to go to. Because, one of these questions is, where do people go when they have bad mental health?
Right.
We could speak in vagaries, but to have a festival like this to say, depending on what you're struggling with, here are some options and here are some people you can talk with here today. So I think a very important conversation throughout the festival is just.
One of the things I found interesting was when I looked at your website, it says this is the first of its kind in Wisconsin. One of only five in the entire country. Now, and I'm not making light of this, a lot of people in the creative arts, myself included, deal with mental health issues. And I'm not comparing my issues. I might have anxiety about this or that from time to time. But, so many people in the arts, comedians, my background, musicians, have these issues. Why isn't there more stuff like this? Like, I was surprised when I found out this is the first of its kind in Wisconsin. It seems like they should offer these kind of booths, as you say, at almost all these kind of festivals, because there's probably a lot of people dealing with that stuff.
You know, that would be an amazing product from this.
Yeah.
Should there be more of this presence among the creatives? Because I agree. And amongst ourselves, amongst family members, friends, we all have been affected in tragic ways by mental illness. And, we've lost people. We are still hanging on to people who are maybe going through a really bad, like self-medicating through, with addiction and that sort of thing.
Right.
It's like, this affects all of us. And to be able to have conversation and resources and to be able to offer a compassionate helping hand.
Absolutely. And again, it's so funny that, like, when I was looking over all this information, how therapeutic the creators of this film festival, or Max, say, writing a screenplay can be, or making a film. Those are huge stressors to some people. Like for me, I get anxious when I write a screenplay or when I've been on movie sets. All it is problem solving. But there's enough of the population or the creative community that looks at that like therapy. I can't even wrap my head around that. It's fascinating to me.
I think there's definite moments where it's therapeutic, and if you can lose yourself into story writing, yeah, you know, but the other side of it is when you get down to production, that's a lot. Like,
it helps you focus and take it. What I found interesting about it was that, like, one form of anxiety helps combat another form of anxiety. Taking on making a movie is really, or can be really stressful.
Yep.
But absolutely, maybe it takes your worries off the other things that are going on in your head, I guess. I don't know.
I'd hate to know what was comparing to, you know, that level of stress, but yeah, you know, everyone has something. So,
right. All right. So you did this really cool thing last time you were here. You were involved in this contest. Tell us about what is Stephen King's connection to it again? Tell us about the project you were involved. The film was called The Last Rung.
Yeah. Last Rung on the Ladder.
Last Rung on the Ladder. Tell us about that project and the contest and what happened with your project in that contest.
So Stephen King, for a number of years, has offered what's called a dollar baby script recipient, or a dollar baby, script incentive. But pretty much what he's offering is a number of his short films where, if he likes the adaptation written, gives permissional use for a year to then fundraise and film it, and then see how it's received at festivals or other, the contract was very tight in terms of us not making any money, not being able to distribute it.
Right.
But what was really the sell was to be able to do a Stephen King film and then send it into the Stephen King organization to have them review it. So we sent ours in right at the end of 2023, and we're still waiting to hear back from
King. Really?
Yep. So there's
the last, you still don't know. I thought that was all sorted out. Okay.
So we've landed everything on our end of the deal. And the last I was hearing from through the grapevine is that he's working on something. So we might not hear for a while yet, because
okay,
it's not a top priority for, you know,
sure,
if he's got a deadline for something else. So
my guest is Kurt Kraus. He is a Northeastern Wisconsin based actor who is part of the Mental Health Warrior Film Festival, which takes place in Madison on May 18th at the Brewhouse Pub. What is it? Brewhouse Pub?
It'll be the,
there it is. Yeah.
Flicks Brewhouse.
That's it. And was also part of a Stephen. So this is kind of cool. So Stephen King lets you film his stuff.
Yep.
You can't make money on it. That's okay.
Can't make money on it.
But it will be judged, and it is like a film contest.
So I don't know exactly at the end of the day what that looks like coming back to us. So I think I shared last time I was on, we did premiere it, and it was well received. We sent it out to film festivals, and as long as they're not-for-profit film festivals, they've let us submit to those. What's changed is that right at the end of 2023, they discontinued the Dollar Baby program.
Okay.
So then it was really kind of ebb and flow with that organization saying, are we good with everything we contracted with, you know, because they did give us extensions and that kind of thing. So all of that was greenlit. And again, we've been adhering to what we said we were going to, but now it's just, what kind of response are we going to get?
Yeah.
And
so what has been the response? Have you screened it for anybody yet?
So the premiere, we got a lot of really positive feedback. Again, I think particularly with people who, you know, have been affected with mental illness or a struggling loved one, you know, I think it really hit home. There's some very strong performances in there by our actress Kayla Kelly, Seth Hale is our lead actor in it, okay, Brian Bells, and the character that was written for Brian Bells was actually this manifestation that Max had created called the Carnival Barker of Despair. So when Max started to put humor into the different voices that are downplaying the progress he's making, it was always like a carnival barker.
Mm. And okay.
So he called him the Carnival Barker of Despair and added him into this adaptation as the manifestation of the conscience of our lead actor.
That's really cool. I wish you luck with that, Kurt. And you got to let us know how that works out, because I think that's pretty cool. I think that's a cool thing for Stephen King to do and a cool thing for you to be a part of. So we met on the set of The Godfather of Green Bay. You were an extra at like 18, right?
Yep, that's correct.
That's so crazy. And I get this Facebook message from you years later, and now we're friends. So I'm glad you're on the show, and I'm glad you stuck with acting. That's so cool. What are you watching right now? Can you recommend something?
Well, I'm following a regular series right now, but best movie I saw this past year, I think, was The Holdovers.
Yeah, it was a good film.
Such a good film.
You know what they did? That's an Alexander Payne film. At the Wisconsin Film Festival this year, they had Alexander Payne come into the festival on the last night, and he screened another film he made called Sideways with Paul Giamatti and Thomas Hayden Church and Virginia Madsen. And he did a Q&A afterwards. So how cool would that be?
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I wish I could have been there, but it was just a few weeks ago. I couldn't be there for that. But yeah, you like The Holdovers. I like that too. Did you see a lot of the Oscar films from last year?
I tried to, because that's something, yeah, especially leading up to Oscar award show, is I really, you know, I want to see as many of them as I can.
I know, it's tough. I saw the last film. It was Poor Things. And that was the last one I saw on Oscar Sunday when they played it. So I barely got in under the wire this year. But it's always a struggle for me, too.
I really, really enjoyed the award ceremony this year.
Yeah.
It moved along nicely.
I agree.
It was funny. It was musical. It was like it was really well done.
I agree. I thought it was pretty fun. Hey, so you got to come back sometime. Tell us when you have news about Stephen King, and we'll have you back on to talk about it, okay? Thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thank you.
All right, that's Kurt Krause, local actor and national actor, but based in Northeast Wisconsin. I always like knowing that people are making their living acting in Northeast Wisconsin. All right, we're going to talk about Jay Leno next on Nightlight as we close things down. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Few more minutes here on this Tuesday night edition of Nightlight. Another really fun show. I don't know what to make of the raisin question, Conrad. Like, I can't tell if people were on my side.
Well, really, does it make you feel better if I'm on your side too?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
And I don't, that doesn't surprise me really. You and I, at least in terms of the questions, I think we're typically often aligned, but
yeah.
Yeah, boy, people like the raisins, I guess.
The worst thing I think for me is the oatmeal raisin cookies.
Yeah,
I like oatmeal cookies just by itself.
Me too. And with chocolate chips.
Yeah. But if there's a raisin in there, I'm just throwing it away. I'm not gonna lie.
Me too.
I hate raisins so much.
It's like, hey, we can make this great by putting a chocolate chip in it.
Exactly.
No, let's go a step below and put in a raisin. Now you're going head to head with your mom there. And I don't know if she'd be happy about that, because she sounded like she really liked.
She definitely knows I do not like raisins.
But she likes the oatmeal raisin cookies.
I mean, yeah, both of my parents like raisins. I'm just the odd one out in my family, I guess.
You got the recessive gene for no raisins. Okay, it was Jay Leno's birthday 2 days ago. Jay Leno, here's my situation with Jay Leno. When he was a comedian, just a stand-up comic, he was on Late Night with David Letterman often. And he was great. He was such a great stand-up comedian. And I know a lot of people liked him on The Tonight Show. I thought he was okay, but he was very un-Jay Leno when he hosted. And he seemed uncomfortable with his guests. And he was kind of this, not rebel comic, but he always had a very skeptical or cynical view of things. He always used to make fun of TV Guide. He always used to come on Letterman and say, "What's my beef?" And he would go and launch into this rant. And it was gold. So I just heard this recently that he is suffering from dementia. That made me very sad because Jay Leno was a great comedian. And I had Tom Dreesen on the show recently. The two of them traded barbs at a memorial for the comedian Richard Jenny at the Laugh Factory years ago in LA, probably 2008 maybe, that I went to with my writing partner, Greg Liana. And the level of comedy at a roast for a fellow comedian was incredible. And seeing Jay Leno, Tom Dreesen took a shot at Jay Leno for not having comedians on, or, you know, looking for new comedians and not having the older guard on. Then Leno went after Dreesen. Huge laughs. So anyway, Jay Leno, I found these clips that I just love. This was Jay Leno appearing on David Letterman, probably circa 1983, but it's just Jay Leno in pure Jay Leno form as a stand-up comedian. Let's play one of those clips now, Conrad.
Here's one, Miami Vice. Do you like that? That's kind of an interesting one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what, I mean, come on. The guys drive Ferrari, they wear designer clothes. This is one of the few instances on television where the police actually earn more money than the cocaine dealers, apparently.
Anything else there in the TV game?
No, there's not much.
You have any other interests besides watching television?
You know what I did the other night? I know this is the yuppie thing to do. I thought I would try it. I played this Trivial Pursuit game. You ever play this?
Yeah, I've played it.
Now, do you like it?
Well...
You see, that's exactly my... You see, I feel guilty playing it. Because what you have here are a bunch of useless facts masquerading as knowledge, you know? I mean, the 80s are really the only time a game like Trivial Pursuit could even be popular. I mean, you go back 100 years, Thomas Edison, the guy would sit around in the dark to try to dream up the light bulb. George Washington Carver, I mean, the man was, how do you get more crops from one tiny seed? Now you got this vast pool of college-educated people, they sit around at night going, okay, what was Goober's middle name? You know, it's stupid, it's terrible.
What was his middle name, just for future reference?
And it's so funny, like, that's just Jay Leno. They were such good friends, Jay Leno and David Letterman. I imagine they eventually patched things up. I remember reading the book about the late night TV wars and how Jay Leno would try to listen in on meetings through air ducts and all kinds of stuff at NBC. And I think David Letterman wasn't happy that they gave Johnny Carson's old seat to Jay Leno, but they were very competitive at the time. But before that, when they were on Late Night with David Letterman together, it was just absolute gold. Let's see if we can get another clip of that in, Conrad, of Jay Leno.
When you walk in, they got $10,000 worth of cameras watching $20 worth of Twinkies.
Oh, he's talking about 7-Eleven.
And they always say they care about people. Give me an idea how much they care. You ever go into 7-Eleven, they have their handicapped parking across the street. Actually, this is the best time to go to a 7-Eleven, anytime after midnight. Then it becomes like a Fellini casting call in this place, you know? All sorts of trolls and mutants wandering through the aisles. People with no birth records of any kind, you know? They always have some sort of a druid slumped over the register there. And there's always that nest of junkies festering in the cookie aisle. You ever shine a light down a cookie aisle at 7-Eleven after midnight? It's like, God damn it! They all scatter there. All the Malamars broken into. Saw a 5-pound bag of sugar sucked dry in there. I tell you, you know, you walk down the aisle and they got contraceptive foam on the same shelf as Cheese Whiz. What do you want, honey? You want to make love? You want a cracker? What do you want? How can you name something Whiz and expect people to buy it? You know, if I pick up a product and I see Whiz on the label, I'm going to read those ingredients very carefully. Exactly how much Whiz is in there. It's terrible.
That's Jay Leno at his best. I don't know the extent of his condition or dementia or if it's Alzheimer's or what, but he's not that old. He's probably 74, 75, but he was a great comic. You know what else I learned today, Conrad? This drives me crazy. When people leave an out-of-office reply, that should be it. But sometimes you know they're reading their email because they'll get back to you.
Yeah.
So now I know. When I send people emails and I get back the out-of-office reply, I know they're really seeing my email. It's like, well, you responded to the last one. Why won't you respond to this one? It's like a security blanket almost. Are you that sick that you can't laugh at that? There you go. There's the Conrad laugh I like so much. All right. So tomorrow night on the show, folks, we got a lot of fun. Tim Sowers will be here from the Overture Center. He'll tell us what's coming up at the beautiful Overture Center on State Street in Madison. And Tim always watches a lot of stuff. The last time he was on, I think he had watched more than I'd. I watched, hey, Conrad, I got a great show for you to watch while you're sick. It's called In the Land of Saints and Sinners with Liam Neeson. It's his new film, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We got a lot of fun tomorrow, too. Great having you with me tonight, folks. Have a great night. I'd like to thank my guests, Eric Chelland, Kurt Krause, and thank you so much for your texts about raisins. I'm Pete Schwabba. This has been Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.